Modern society, under the influence of Satan, was to be organized on the opposite principle, namely, that human nature is of itself divine, that man is God, and therefore subject to nobody. Accordingly, when the favorable moment had arrived, the Masonic divinization of human nature found its expression in the Declaration of the Rights of Man in 1789. The French Revolution ushered in the struggle for the complete organization of the world around the new divinity, humanity. In God's plan, the whole organization of a country is meant to aid the development of the true personality of the citizens through the mystical body of Christ. Accordingly, the achievement of true liberty for a country means the removal of the obstacles to the organized social acceptance of the divine plan. Every revolution since 1789 tends, on the contrary, to the rejection of that plan, and therefore to the enthronement of man in the place of God. The freedom at which the spirit of the revolution aims is that absolute independence which refuses submission to any and every order. It is the spirit breathed by the temptation of the serpent. For God doth know that in what day soever you shall eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Man decided then that he would himself lay down the order of good and evil in the place of God. Then and now, it is the same attitude. Is the Declaration of the Rights of Man, then, the work of Freemasonry? The Masons themselves have taken care not to leave us in doubt about it. The 16th July, 1889, a Masonic Congress, destined to commemorate and celebrate the principles of 1789, met at Paris. The speeches were pronounced by the Masons Amiable and Colfevreux, were published by the French Grand Orient in pamphlet form. From the speech of Colfevreux, we take the following, quote, "The revolution, by embodying in a new social and political organization the broad-minded liberal doctrines of Freemasonry, by giving to the new world the immortal declaration of the rights of man and of the citizen, and to France the loyal democratic constitution of 1791, substituted its more energetic and more practical action for the speculative propaganda which had characterized the work of Freemasonry down to 1789. From the programs and resolutions expressed in the Cahiers after they had been prepared in the lodges, the National Assembly passed to acts. In 1789, at the opening of the States General, the great French Masonic family was in full development. It counted amongst its adepts the greatest minds of the day. It had received Voltaire into the famous Lodge of the Nine Sisters, under the respectful and fraternal patronage of Benjamin Franklin. Condorcet, Mirabeau, Danton, Robespierre, Camille Desmoulins were all Masons. The Grand Master was the Duke of Orleans. My brothers, therefore, let us remember those great examples, and let us work for the triumph of light, of justice, of liberty." End of quote. From the speech delivered on that same occasion by the Mason Louis Amiable, we shall quote only one passage. Quote, "It is not an exaggeration to affirm that the Masonic reorganization of 1773 was the forerunner of the great revolution of 1789. The regime inaugurated by the French Grand Orient gave force and vigor to the truth which was to be formulated 16 years later by the Declaration of the Rights of Man. The law is the expression of the general will. The French Freemasons of the 18th century made the revolution. They had elaborated its doctrine in advance so that these were not improvisations. It was from Masonry that the nation took over the three words which form the motto of the French Republic: liberty, equality, fraternity." B. Jean-Jacques Rousseau. It will be well to say something about the influence exercised on the French Revolution by the writings of Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Louis Blanc informs us that Rousseau's writings were on the table of the Committee of Public Safety of the French Revolution. Two of the works of this sophist, The Social Contract and The Essay on the Inequality of Social Conditions, are especially popular in Masonic circles. Masonic writers and orators are never weary of quoting from them and commenting thereon. Rousseau carries on the revolution against the order of the world begun by Luther. Luther's revolt was that of our individuality and sense life against the exigencies of the supernatural order instituted by God. It was an attempt to remain attached to Christ while rejecting the order established by Christ for our return to God. Rousseau's revolt was against the order of natural morality by the exaltation of the primacy of our sense life. The little world of each one of us, our individuality, is a divine person, supremely free and sovereignly independent of all order, natural and supernatural. The state of liberty, or of sovereign independence, is the primitive state of man, and the nature of man demands the restoration of that state of liberty. It is to satisfy this so-called exigency that the father of modern thought invented the famous myth of the social contract. The social contract gives birth to a form of association in which each one, while forming a union with all the others, obeys only himself and remains as free as before. Each one is subject to the whole, but he is not subject to any man. There is no man above him. He is absorbed in the common ego, begotten in the pact, so that, obeying the law, he obeys only himself. Each citizen votes in order that, by the addition of the number of votes, the general will, which each one wills before all else may be manifested. The general will, expressed by the vote of the majority, is, so to say, a manifestation of the deity immanent in the multitude.